Invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. And this is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O God.
Jesus said to the disciples, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you who wait in hope for the Lord's return. Amen. Okay, it's a new church year, and of course we can't start out with anything nice and easy, but are forced to just dive right into one of my least favorite passages in the entire Gospel of Matthew. In fact, I can't even say it is one of my least favorites, because the truth is there is little to nothing that on the surface I like about these verses. And I say this because when I read this passage, I can't help but be reminded of all the people out there who use this and other similar passages as some sort of justification for how Christ is going to swoop in and save them and leave all those others behind. You know, those others who don't believe the same way they do. Those others who drink or smoke or dance or gamble or watch R-rated movies or are divorced or don't dress up for church or have premarital sex or vote Democrat or vote Republican or find people of the same sex attractive or any other silly and meaningless thing that for some reason they have gotten it into their heads is something that will ultimately cause Christ to cast you aside into eternal damnation. But how do they know that they're right? How did they get chosen to interpret God's will and get to stand in judgment instead of Christ? And how did they ever get to the point where they thought they were better than everyone else? Well, I don't know. And to tell you the truth, I don't need to know. And I don't need to know because I just don't care to believe that what they have to say has much merit. And what's more, I don't think if Jesus was here right now, he'd have much to say to people like this either. Or maybe Christ would. Maybe he'd have a lot to say. A lot to say about how they are twisting his teachings into something that he never intended. And while Jesus might even be a little more than upset at their high-handed, holier-than-thou attitude, my guess is that Christ would not be angry and mad, but saddened. Deeply saddened that somehow and some way too many people have been led astray from the truth that he came for all people. He came for everyone to share his love and his forgiveness and his mercy to both sinner and saint alike. Now, does that mean that at some time there will not be a judgment? No. In fact, we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed each week when we say Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. But remember that it's Christ doing the judging, Not some guy or gal on a street corner yelling at you to repent or be damned. And isn't it interesting that these same people who are constantly badgering others to repent and start behaving, in their opinion, more Christ-like, also always seem so focused on the end times? It's as if they fell hook, line, and sinker for all the fiction that those Left Behind books vomited out. Now don't get me wrong. As fiction, these books are just fine. In fact, I read a few of them, and I even saw the movie that came out starring Kirk Cameron. But I've also seen Rosemary's Baby, The Omen, and The Exorcist, which were also all great movies. But never once did I believe they actually depicted what Christ taught. So why do so many Christians have these books in their homes, and why do so many churches have these books in their libraries? Who knows? But what I do know is that you can't ever assume that you can look around at what's going on in the world today and think that from that you'll ever be able to precisely determine when the end is near. Now, listening to a podcast this week, I was taken by the description of Advent as that season to celebrate and lift up the history, mystery, and majesty of Christ. That is, we remember the history of God coming to us as a child who grows into this great healer, teacher, and ultimately beautiful Savior. This beautiful Savior who willingly dies for our sake when he is crowned with thorns and dies while hanging on the most unlikely throne ever conceived of. But that's the irony, isn't it? The irony that God as Christ not only comes into the world as a vulnerable child and dies a humiliating death, but that he was also resurrected and ascended into heaven until he comes again. And no one knows when that time will be. But when the time is right, we are promised that we will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So in the meantime, what are we to do? Well, we are to wait. We are to wait in this in-between time, this mysterious time, and this time of great expectation. But we're not called on to just wait and do nothing, but we're called on to actively live each day to the fullest by offering to others what Christ offers us in the mystery of his body and blood. In the mystery of the bread and the wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And in the mystery that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Because this is the good news we must remember, hold on to, and learn to freely share. Now, last week at Spirit of Christ, as you all know, we held our annual holiday bazaar where people were coming and going all day long. Well, at one point in the afternoon, it just so happened that a visiting Catholic struck up a conversation with a young Presbyterian who was also visiting. And as they talked about what brought them each to the bazaar, it came out that the young Presbyterian grew up attending a small rural church and loved the feel of our congregation. She went on to explain that she had not had a regular church home for some time because she felt that no church would want her to join if she didn't have the time and energy to commit to regular worship. The Catholic lady then proceeded to share that she was in the right place then, because this church's mission isn't all about gaining members, but to just be a welcoming place where a word of hope is always offered, whether you come once a week or once a year. Now, when I heard this story, I had to smile and chuckle to myself, because where else but in a Lutheran church basement holiday bazaar could you find a devout Catholic evangelizing to a wayward Presbyterian, urging them to attend a Lutheran church? Now, I hope and pray this young woman is led by the Spirit to return soon to worship with us. Who knows? Maybe she's here right now. But what I hope and pray for even more is that wherever she may eventually end up, she is made to feel welcome, comes to embrace the love of God, and doesn't have to endure a message of judgment and exclusion, or one that concentrates way too much of their energy worrying about the end of the world as we know it. Because while I firmly believe that the end will come at some point and we all should be looking forward in great expectation to Christ's return, what's more important is living in the moment and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us into service for both our neighbor and all of creation. And for all of you left behind diehards out there, remember that to be left behind may not be that bad of a thing. As Jesus points out, Noah too was left behind. And the rest of mankind, well, they were all swept away. Take that however you want, but I for one wouldn't mind being left behind to see Jesus coming on a cloud to establish heaven on earth, even if he comes also to judge. Because at least Jesus is up front and lets you know what his criteria is. And his criteria is not solely based on what you believe, but how you've lived and how you've loved. So get out there and continue living to love. Living to love everyone as generously and with as much passion as possible. And if you have the chance, why don't you say a little something about Jesus to someone too? Amen.